Senior Focus. Welcome everyone, I'm Anne-Marie Curry, I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And it's May, and it's that time of the year when we're thinking about winter, getting prepared for how we're going to cope when it really gets cold, and noticing that it's chillier in the mornings and chillier at night, and we need to have extra layers even when we go out, just so that we can slip them on when we need to. Now, thinking about that, there are a number of people pushing all sorts of products at us, as usual, and they intensify as winter comes on. They try to sell you extra curtains and drapes. They try to sell you HIV systems and to keep the air warm and dry. They try to sell you insulation and heat pumps. And there are a number of choices being thrust at you all the time. And it can get a bit tedious, but there are advantages in some things and disadvantages with others. I'm not going to talk about this at all today, but I just thought it is the time of the year when you need to take stock of your situation and think, well, what would I do that would make the biggest difference in my situation? And I notice, for example, just where the sun is in the house, how many activities I could do in different rooms that would be a lot warmer at this time of the year. And so just being a bit sensible about how you live can really have a big impact on things, rather than just always doing what you've always done. Now, today I don't have a guest with me, but I have a list of people that I'm working on establishing programs with over the next 2 months, and we've got plenty to cover. But today I've been inundated with a lot of news, and some of the news has to be concerning most people who drive cars, and that's the news about how the driver testing for the over 80s is being looked at again, because somehow the standard test that GPs use is a test really for Alzheimer's, and it's not very appropriate for car driving. And so there's been research done into this and how people losing their licenses actually lose a great deal of choice in their lives, and what an impact it has. And sometimes a very negative impact for no good reason, because they're perfectly good drivers. It's just they didn't gen up on how to do this test. And some people, frankly, lose confidence when they have to go into a testing environment in their post-80 state. So it isn't really conducive to finding out how people actually drive on the road. Other people can fly through the tests, but they're a nightmare on the road. So there is a need to get some rationality into the whole situation. And I was very impressed that the Grey Power president from North Shore, Bill Rayner, was actually interviewed on 9 to Noon by Catherine Ryan this week. So we're going to have a talk with Bill shortly, but not today. And he is also, in many respects, a very seasoned character in terms of politics, and can talk about a number of topics. So we will be interested in interviewing him, in particular the North Shore Grey Power is going ahead with its AGM and electing a new committee, and so that will be happening at the beginning of June. So we'll have him in the studio before then. Now, I've also been talking to the public trusts, and they are very keen to do a presentation around elder abuse for World Elder Abuse Day, and that I think will be very interesting, because there's more and more research coming out about elder abuse, and it's often happening close to home, and people are really unsure about how to handle some of the consequences, particularly where one member of the family beats another member of the family up, and they're in the hospital system with a third member of the family who is an elder and needing care. And when the fight between the sisters intensifies and the hospital takes sides, but they take sides with the aggressor rather than the victim, but they make the victim a double victim. Now, this is a really intricate case of the health system becomes the oppressor and the abuser as well. And because all of these three people have got elder status. So there, it's in a very interesting case. I'm not going to be interviewing anybody about that specifically, but public trust do have a very interesting role in looking in after people, and in certain caring situations, they are the people that step in. Now, the other topic that we will be looking at has to do with wills. And believe it or not, there are a large number of people who don't have wills and don't consider why they need to, or don't get around to it. So we thought it was a very good idea to have a program on wills, and the Public Trust are an authority on wills. They have been doing wills for many years. And I don't see any downside of presenting a program with them. Only, of course, they may get some business as a result of that, but we will be at pains to keep this about a generic statement about wills rather than advertising their service specifically. So if you haven't got a will, or your will hasn't been updated, or you're just not aware of what happens when one partner dies, how that can change a whole situation. So if your will has been made some time ago and you think everything's hunky-dory, well, it may not be. So circumstances change, events change, and people's lives change, and their wills need updating. Whether they want to do it or not, it may be in their best interest. So that is what we're going to cover with all of that. Now, in addition, we've had some discussion about the Aged Care Commissioner and her report, and we are going to hear from her. But there is now on the table the Health and Disability Service as a whole, the Health and Disability Commissioner and the team that works with the Commissioner, they are now giving the people a right to appeal its decisions. And there was a woman who suffered chronic pain after having surgical mesh implanted, and she wasn't very happy with the limited response of the Commissioner to her complaint. So the Commissioner is an independent watchdog with roles including investigating people's complaints about the health services which they or a loved one received. Now, these decisions cannot be appealed, but that could be changed under proposals that are being floated and the public has asked for feedback on. So key topics include considering options for the right of appeal for a health and disability decision, and supporting better and equitable, complaint resolution. So those are the key topics under consideration. So the Commissioner also wants feedback on how to ensure the Code of Health and Disability Services Consumer Rights and the Health and Disability Commissioner Act could work better for Māori, for disabled people, and is also interested in hearing about minor and technical changes that could be made. So the Commissioner Morag McNeil said the right to an appeal could apply to people making a complaint and the party or parties being complained about. And in response to this woman who had the pain from the surgical mesh, in response to this woman's petition, Parliament's Health Select Committee had indicated the right to appeal should be covered in the next HDC review. So that is what is being looked at and being consulted on, what the options might be for people if they're unhappy with an HDC decision. There are pros and cons as to a right to appeal, how it might work. And on one hand, there's a huge advantage to a right to appeal because it's an access to justice issue. On the other hand, there is an interest in the finality of proceedings as well. On the issue of making sure the HDC and legislation works for Māori, it's Kai Tohu, Tāmua Māori Director of Māori, that's Ike Moke Tamaki Takare, and the comment from him was involving in making sure that Te Tiriti o Waitangi is put into action in practical ways, and this includes adding protections to make sure te ao Māori, including tikanga, are integral to the Act and the Code, and ensuring that there are processes more equitable for Māori engagement. Feedback can be given until July the 31st, online or by email or by post, or in-person meetings, which will be held in some regions, and upon request. So more information on this is available at www.review.hdc.org.nz. And these recommendations from this review and the findings will be sent to the Health Minister, Dr. Shane Retty. And then any subsequent changes would be made by MPs. Any changes will have to be balanced with the growing pressure put on HDC. The volume of complaints has increased 40% in the past 4 years. That has impacted on our ability to manage complaints in a timely way. But we obviously assess every single complaint that comes into the organisation and try to figure out the best pathway that it needs to go on. So that's Morag McDowell, the Commissioner there, commenting. And certainly I think the amount of complaint or the level of complaint has gone up during and post-COVID. And that may or may not be COVID-related stuff, but it's had an impact, or people have had time to consider something which they might not have considered in past times. There are all sorts of reasons, but I won't go into those reasons today.
When I was 17, it was a very good year. A very good year for small town girls and soft summer night, we'd hide from the lights on the village green. When I was 17, when I was 21, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for city girls who lived up the stair with all that perfumed hair. And it came undone when I was 21. When I was 35, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for blue-blooded girls of independent means. We'd ride in limousines. Chauffeurs would drive. When I was 35, but now the days are short. I'm in the autumn of the year, and now I think of my life as vintage wine from fine old kegs. From the brim to the dregs, it poured sweet and clear. It was a very good year.
Welcome back, everyone. I am very keen to share with you the program about the Writers Festival, which is coming up mid-May. And it's one of those special occasions when lots of people wrap up and come out, and it's exciting to see an event which is not labelled for seniors, but it really suits a lot of a wide range of people my age and older. And I find that it's wonderful that there's a family program on the weekend, that there's children's theatre, that there's lots of free spaces. So before I head into promoting things that actually cost money, I think one of the best values items on the program is the Friday, where the street programs are on for free from 6 till 8 p.m. on the Friday night. And that's a wonderful way to just get about and see all kinds of things and be titivated by what's happening around Britomart. So it's both surprising, hilarious and profound. The offerings are a little bit fringy, and there are writers, musicians, artists taking to the streets, and creating shenanigans. And this intriguing performances, there are conversations, there are activities, and you can't quite predict it or put your finger on it, but you can just go along for the fun and the ride and enjoy it. No cost, and you never know what you're going to bump into. Now, I know that not everybody can go to everything, and I know that you can feel swamped with such choice, but I really encourage you to get hold of a program, have a look at things for the family, things that are free on the weekend for families that might appeal to your grandchildren or other people's children that you know that you'd like to take along. So see if you can make up an adventure yourself. So Puka Puka Adventures are the pack days where you can party with your children, your grandchildren, or other people's children. And these activity sessions are everything from stories from Africa to our Pacific neighbours, and looking at all sorts of creatures in the universe, dance and activities where children make badges or create poems. It's just an amazing collection of opportunities. But I did notice that Bad Jelly the Witch is being staged as a reading. That's Spike Milligan's famous work, and that's in the Herald Theatre on Sunday from 2:30 till 3:15. That's a paid program, but still not that expensive. It's $13 for students or children. Now, there are a number of interviews with authors, and one that struck out stuck out to me was her story, Bringing Woman of the Past to Life. And that's on at 11:30 on Saturday in the Waitakere Room. Now, that's actually comprising three authors and their research that they did into their background of Aotearoa New Zealand and Australian history, as they told stories about the ways in which women were affected by their society at that time. So Elizabeth Spooner has a bestseller, The Girl from London, and that involves a young school teacher who's escorting children evacuated from war-torn England to Australia and Aotearoa New Zealand. Lauren Keenan's The Space Between is about the unbreakable bonds of whenua and family amid the New Zealand wars in 1860. And Barbara Summers' The Gallows Bird is an ostracised young woman's desperate actions that cast her on course to one of Australia's early convict settlements. So all of these stories involved a great deal of research and background to craft them into the successful fiction that they represent. And that is not very expensive. I mean, you can hop into that for a standard fee of $28, or you can pay less if you happen to be a full-time student, as some of us our age are, and that's $13. But you can get an early bird special maybe still at $23. So if you go through and circle the things that you really like, and then you go back through and give yourself the must-haves, and then sort out what your ticketing is from there, you should be able to do what you want in a reasonable time frame and without too much expense. And I like the fact that there are some wonderful free programs, and those free programs really encourage us to keep alive the importance of books, the value of our language, and the stories that are the lifeblood of our communities. So I hope to be able to tell you about some of my experiences after I've been to the Writers' Festival, because it is the highlight of my year. But I would encourage you to not waver if you've not considered so far, because obviously some things are free and you just queue up, and you need to queue up early in order to make sure you get in. But other things need to be, tickets need to be bought, and only a certain number will be sold, and you need to really think about what your priorities are, and you need to make sure that you've done things early enough. So I really suggest that that is important, that that's what you need to do, and I wish you every success and joy with what you may not feel is a must for you, but think of it as an adventure, because it really is an eye-opening opportunity. And I've met some fascinating people in my time. I've even ended up interviewing some of them on air later from different parts of New Zealand. So I do go along with that kind of added extra intent, but it's more for my own enjoyment than anything else. I'm also very interested in the Sunday program from 4 to 5 in the Kiritakanawa Theatre, and there are a range of interesting writers going to be there presenting The Long View. So Anna Rafferty Connell, Anne Patchett, Bonnie Garmus, and Patricia Grace are going to participate. What a longer life view can bring to the page. And I would say that a longer life view will leap off the page towards you when you consider that if you have vision in your life, you will be bound to have a longer and richer life. It's almost inevitable. That style of thinking can keep you alive much more strongly than almost anything else. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Maybe the songs for the lonely one. Maybe something that I know. Hey, Mr. DJ. DJ. I'm real sad for tonight. Maybe something just from me and my baby. Won't you make everything alright? I'm gonna turn away now.
together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25pm on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.